الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا صدق الله العظيم. Most respected علماء کرام, brothers and elders, this ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed when once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going somewhere. So en route, he passed by some Yahud, some Jews. So they asked a question. There's a lot of details to it, but just the crux of it. So among other things that they asked, one of it was, what is the reality of the ruh, the soul? So this insan, one part of him is his physical self, his body. And the other part of this insan is his ruh, his soul. The main part of insan and the actual part of insan is his ruh. At the time when a person passes away, so just at that time everything is still intact. He's looking exactly like he looked while he was still alive. Nothing has changed apparently apart from the fact that he is completely now motionless. But everything looks the same. If somebody wasn't sure, they might even maybe mistake him to be sleeping. But at that time, even the name also leaves a person. Nobody refers to him by his name anymore. They say that the mayyat or the janaza is there. At the most, it will be attributed the janaza of so-and-so. Even his name goes away. Why? Because the ruh has departed. So when the ruh has departed, the actual insan, so to say, has departed. The vehicle that was carrying this insan along, that is still there. That is to be buried now. But the actual part of this insan, which is his ruh, that has gone. So now in any case, this ruh, this soul. So these Yahud, they ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the reality of this ruh? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was with, he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a stick in his hand at that time, a staff. So he just stood still leaning on that staff. He said, I realized that this is wahi that is being revealed upon him. And after standing silently for a while in that manner, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayat, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قل الروح من امر ربي وما اوتيتم من العلم الا قليلا. That these people are asking you about the ruh, about the reality of the soul. What is the soul all about? And what is its reality? So simply answer them, قل الروح من امر ربي. The ruh and the soul is from the command of my Rabb. When my Rabb commands, then this ruh comes in to that body, and that life comes into this body that was now before that without life. It was just a piece of flesh which was now growing, but there was no life yet. But now when that fetus has come to the age of 4 months in that womb, at that time this ruh is blown into it, now life came. But life came by the hukam of my Rabb. And when Allah wills, and Allah's command, then that ruh leaves. So all you need to know about it, that this ruh comes in by the command of my Rabb, and it leaves by the command of Allah Ta'ala. More than that, your mind, your intelligence, your aqal, your understanding, it cannot comprehend this reality. So the Quran Sharif did not get into that detail that they were asking about, because they don't have that capacity, and nobody, no insan has that capacity to understand the reality of this ruh. What is its reality? What is its composition, for example? How does it come? How does it go? But we don't see anything happening. When it comes, we don't see something. When it's leaving, we don't see anything leaving. So what's the reality of it? All that is beyond this insan, and neither is it necessary for this insan to know all that detail. So the ruh, the question they asked was about the reality of the ruh. The Quran Sharif, the answer Allah gave, قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, and then rounded it off, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You have just a smattering of knowledge. What can you understand all this detail? So that part of that question was not answered. So one very big lesson in this is that not every question deserves an answer. Because sometimes that question, the answer of it is beyond the capacity of the person asking the question. So there's not that he doesn't deserve an answer, it will be wrong to give him an answer. Because it's going to put him into a confusion which he cannot understand, cannot fathom, of how to unravel that. So he will just be unnecessarily action. Sometimes there's no answer required for it because that question is la ya'ni. It's a futile question. It doesn't matter to that person whether he has the answer to it or not. It doesn't deal with his any need of deen, or doesn't affect his dunya in any way also. If he knew about it or didn't know about it, doesn't affect anything. Doesn't affect his deen, and didn't make any difference to his dunya, neither any benefit or loss to his dunya. So then that's a futile question. And this is a norm of the time, that people, everything has become so easy to ask a question, just keep messaging, just keep emailing. Unlike once upon a time, person had to now maybe write something, then go to the post office and post it somewhere, then wait for a long time before that answer will come. So now at the press of a button, person is now sitting, doesn't know what to do. So now he starts messaging around, asking questions of things that are of no importance to him. So in this is also the lesson that ask things that are of need for us, genuine need, that will affect our deen, that will help us improve in our deen, or if we don't know about it, we'll suffer some loss in deen, we'll harm ourselves in deen. Those are the things to ask about. And there's many a times we know the answer, but we don't know how to bring it in our life. Who doesn't know 5 times salah is compulsory, and that fajr is also compulsory? And who doesn't know the importance of salah with jama'ah? Person who has some exposure to deen, he has been listening to some talks of deen. So this has come over and over again to his attention. What is the importance of salah with jama'ah? Various other, so now he is still lacking in it. So that's the question to ask. How do I bring this in my life? Person who has some exposure to deen, how many times he has heard, he has understood the importance of, for example, guarding his gaze. That this is a very, very crucial aspect. And when the gaze is not looked after, then the heart becomes completely polluted. And when the heart becomes polluted, then the mind gets corrupted with it. And then the whole body starts functioning in a corrupted manner. So now he knows this. But now the question that needs to be asked sometimes is, but despite this knowledge of this very crucial aspect, I'm still far away from bringing this into my life. That saving myself from this terrible sin, saving myself from the harms of all these evils. So now I'm still stuck in this. How do I come out of it? One sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked something. He asked it, but in a different way. He presented it as if he was requesting permission, but it's actually a question about how do I get past this something within me. That I'm struggling with some feeling, I'm struggling with some inclinations, and I want to get past it. But how he came and presented it, he came and presented it in a way as if he was asking for genuine permission. He came in the gathering of Sahaba Ikram and he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to commit zina. The Sahaba were completely astounded, they were disturbed that this person can come and ask this kind of question. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam very calmly called him forward, and then he questioned him in a very calm manner, that would you ever like such an act be committed with your mother? He said, never. With your aunt, never. With your daughter, never. So nobody else likes this also to ever be happening to anybody that's linked to them. And then he placed his Mubarak hand on his chest and made dua for him. And it is stated the most detestable thing thereafter became zina to him. But the point is that there was something he needed to ask, how to get past this. What's the ilaj and the treatment for this? What's troubling within him? That he asked. That was an important thing to ask. Likewise, Hanzalah radiallahu ta'ala felt something that is, there's no consistency. That's how he dealt with it. There's no consistency in my life. When I'm in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feel a different zeal of iman, different spirit of iman. When I'm back home, it seems like it's gone low. Now this inconsistency, how do I overcome this? So he came and he presented it in how? Similarly, like that sahabi presented the request for treatment, he presented it in a different way. Hazrat Hanzalah radiallahu anhu came and presented this in this man, Nafaqa Hanzalah. Hanzalah has become a munafiq. And upon inquiry, he gives his story that this is how I feel, this inconsistency. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that cannot be expected that you are going to remain on that same high of imani spirit like you experience in my company when you are elsewhere. The barakat of that Mubarak company, what is felt in that moment, obviously cannot be experienced in the absence of that company. So, but they came and presented that. Why? Because they wanted to get that treatment, if they was requiring any treatment. They wanted to get that way forward. That's something to ask about. So many times we ask things that are of no relevance. Doesn't make any difference to our deen. Doesn't even make any difference to our dunya. But things that are of real concern, things that really need to be asked, things that we really need to get some guidance and direction on, that we don't ask. Whether it relates to our ibadat, no question about it. We just do as we have been doing without checking, without making sure what we're doing is right. When it comes to our muamalat, our dealings, monetary transactions, financial dealings, many a times things are going haywire, but we don't ask about it. When it comes to our muasharat, our akhlaq, those are the things to ask about. So in any case, the Quran Sharif gave this very simple answer. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So now this is the aspect about the reality of the ruh. We can't understand that. But nevertheless, there is a reality to it. This ruh, the ruh has come from above. And this insan's body, this is from the ground. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. Allah Ta'ala says, we created this insan from this extract of clay. It's come from the earth. So this body, the body has come from the earth. But the ruh, فَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. Allah says, I blew my spirit into him. Came from above. The reality is beyond our comprehension. But the body came from the ground. The ruh came from above. The body came from the ground. Its nourishment is also from the earth. فَلْيَنْزُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبًّا وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala says, this insan, does he consider his food, where it came from? Allah provided, but the system Allah put in place. Anna sababna al-ma'a sabba, we brought the rain down in torrents. Then we split the earth, hard earth. Allah says we split it, and we allowed the grains to grow from it, all the vegetation and the fruits and the different aspects that are listed. So this insan's nourishment For the body came from the earth. He himself, his body is from the earth. So the nourishment of the body is also from the earth. But the ruh came from above. Just as the body has its nourishment, and without the nourishment of the body, that body becomes sick, that body becomes diseased, that body then dies if it is not nourished. So likewise, the ruh has its nourishment, and the nourishment of the ruh is from above also. The nourishment of the ruh, so the whatever Allah Ta'ala has descended upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa nunazzilu min al-Qur'an ma huwa shifaa'u wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. Allah says, we revealed and descended upon you that which is shifa, and it is a mercy unto the believers. So it is shifa for all their spiritual ailments, and even for the physical ailments. So now this ruh requires its nourishment, just as the body has its need for its nourishment. But insan, his entire focus and attention only on the body, and the ruh neglected. The body is given all the priority, all the focus, all the care, and the ruh hardly anything. Just as his body gets nourished with its nourishment, and it also gets affected by things and gets ill, this ruh also gets nourished by what nourishes it, and negative things make this ruh also very ill. But there's a vast difference between these two things. When the body gets sick, one hadith sharif it is mentioned that a person suffers a fever, now he's sick, the body is ill. But what happens as a result? As a result of that illness, that fever, his sins get shed. That sickness became a kaffara. It became a means of expiation of his sins. In the Hadith Sharif is mentioned, even if a thorn has pricked a person and he made sabr on that, that too becomes a source of reward for him. So the body gets sick sometimes, that sickness becomes a source of forgiveness of sins. He made sabr on that sickness became a means of gaining great rewards from Allah Ta'ala. The body gets sick also, and sometimes it gets so sick that eventually the person passes away as a result of different kind of illnesses. There are so many different illnesses mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. Person passes away from some of those ailments. He's received a category of shahadat. He's passed away as a shaheed. So the body also gets sick. And there are things that happen, but when the body gets sick, these are the outcomes. Not that a person should deliberately do things that will make him sick, but the body gets ill. But when the body gets ill, this is what happens. That the person now, his sins are getting forgiven. He's getting reward from Allah Ta'ala. He's making sabr. That sabr is taking him closer to Allah Ta'ala. And as a result of that illness and ailments that he has now been making sabr upon, his heart becomes connected to Allah Ta'ala. And then if he passed away in so many different types of ailments, that becomes shahadat. Subhanallah. Life one day is going to go without doubt. Nobody is going to remain forever. But Allah Ta'ala made that sickness a means of shahadat for so many. And the other side, the ruh becomes sick. When the ruh becomes sick, a person gets distanced from Allah Ta'ala. The body got sick, he made sabr, he got closer to Allah Ta'ala. But when the ruh becomes sick, it becomes sick with what? So the lack of nourishment. For example, salah. Salah is a very essential nourishment of this ruh. It nourishes the ruh. When a person has had a satiating meal, he feels very comfortable, very relaxed, very happy. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, arihna, give us comfort by calling out the azan. Because we'll now perform salah and connect to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And there is nothing more relaxing for the ruh, for gaining this comfort of the ruh, than connecting with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. جعلت قرة عيني في الصلاة. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said, the coolness of my eyes has been placed in salah. Coolness of the eyes is an expression. When a person is truly very happy about something. The Arabic expression, coolness of the eyes, because say when a person cries out of happiness, tears out of grief are warm. And tears out of happiness, person cries out of happiness also sometimes. That happiness, he gets so elated, so overexcited, he cries out of happiness, the tears come out too. But the tears that come out of happiness are cool. Maybe someday, somebody cries out of happiness, they can check it out. So that's where the expression started off, the Arabic expression, that may Allah Ta'ala make this the coolness of your eyes, may Allah make this a means of happiness for you. Dua when people give for children, Allah Ta'ala make this child the coolness of your eyes. Meaning that, and this is in the Quran Sharif, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Ya Allah, make our spouses and our offspring قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ, the coolness of our eyes. There is no, cannot be a more comprehensive dua than this dua for all the goodness in this regard. Everything, good, coolness of the eyes, nothing has been excluded. If a person sees his children, mashallah, very well set in dunya, but if he has little bit understanding and they're not doing what is required of them in deen, his heart is still restless. There's no coolness of the eyes there. Mashallah, they are very steadfast on their deen, but there is some difficulty in dunya, then too he's feeling uneasy for them. Coolness of the eyes has encompassed everything. Obviously, the most important aspect is deen. And together with that is dua for all their good of dunya also. So in this is such a, the du'as of the Quran Sharif, of the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's du'as, what can come anywhere close to how comprehensive this is and how deep it is. So in any case, this coolness of the eyes, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Salah, the coolness of my eyes is in Salah. Meaning because this is the ghiza, this is the nourishment for the ruh. And when the ruh has gained this nourishment, it is so elated, so relaxed, so comfortable, that this is the coolness of the eyes. There's nothing more comfortable than this, regardless of what goes on with the body at that time. The body is sometimes in pain, it is in grief, it is in difficulty, but subhanallah, the heart is connected to Allah Ta'ala. As a result, despite the pain, but the person is still at ease within himself. Because within himself, he's in pain physically, but his heart is connected to Allah Ta'ala, his ruh is connected to Allah Ta'ala. And as a result, within himself, he's comfortable. And therefore, he never gets overwhelmed. He's insan. He feels whatever others feel, but that doesn't overwhelm him. He doesn't become overwhelmed to the point where now he starts thinking of all absurd things and things that are not in order. He's still connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So now the salah, ghiza of the ruh. A person missed his fajr, he starved his ruh. Missed his fajr, that ruh has now been dealt a very severe blow, injured badly. Missed the salah with jama'ah without any valid reason, that ruh has been hurt badly. But now we don't realize what's going on, because everything is not within what we can see with our naked eye, but a person with some perception within himself, then he'll perceive it. Some perception of deen, perception of the heart is alive. When the heart is alive, then even one small little difference comes in, like Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala an, he felt that inconsistency. Something is different. What's the difference? Because the heart was alive. The example that is often given, that one is, that scale on which gold is weighed, extremely sensitive. Even if you blow on it too, that needle will move. So sensitive. The slightest change came in the atmosphere, some wind came onto it. It measured the difference. The needle moved. And then something else is called a weighbridge. That weighbridge, forget one car, maybe five cars come into it, still won't move maybe. One whole truck must come onto it, then now that thing starts moving. So now some, they have enlightened that ruh. They have fed it so well, nourished it, cared for it. So now it became so alive, the slightest thing that affects it, the needle moves within. Something is not in order here. Person starts becoming concerned, I need to make tawbah, something is not in order. What happened? Why did my gaze slip like this? Suddenly, why my gaze slipped? How come this kind of word came out of my tongue? Why did I suddenly feel lazy to go and now perform salah? I woke up after that, it didn't remain lazy. But what happened now? Why was this laziness? I didn't feel all these days lazy. Suddenly, why the laziness came? That needle starts moving inside. And when the ruh is neglected, the ruh is not cared for, the ruh gets sick, then gradually it becomes like that way bridge. Till something major doesn't happen, person feels like nothing happened. Meanwhile, so many things are falling onto it. There's already half a ton there. But now that thing only starts moving after when it's 2 tons past. So now he's feeling nothing happened. Dirt and muck and everything is being dumped onto it. But he says, well, nothing happened. Everything is fine. What kind of conduct he's conducting himself with? What kind of languages he's using? What kind of vulgarity he's now spewing out? What kind of akhlaq he's displaying? What kind of muamalat he's engaging in? You see, nothing happened. Life is carrying on. Because the ruh, that way bridge, nothing is changing yet. So in any case, this ruh, it has its need for its nourishment. Salah is its nourishment. Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, this is its nourishment. This is what enlightens the ruh. Because this ruh, this sakina comes from above with the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, which the ruh perceives. And Allah wills that sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes the eyes perceive it too. The well-known hadith sharif, Hazrat Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu ta'ala, making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and now his little child is sleeping alongside, and there's a horse tied somewhere. Now he's probably performing salah in an outside place somewhere. And now as he's reciting Quran Sharif, and that horse starts jumping around, and it's tied not far off, so now he becomes concerned that horse, the way he's jumping around, it might just now trample the child. So he listened, he stopped his qiraat, that stopped also. He started reciting again, that started again. So eventually he completed his salah. As he completed his salah, he can see like a cloud filled with like lights. But then as he looked at it, it began rising and rising and finally disappeared. So the next day he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned this entire incident. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Iqra yabna Hudayr. Aray ibn Hudayr, you should have continued reciting. Why you stopped? You should have continued reciting. That was that sakina and that peace that was descending, that noor that was descending, which would have come into you in your home. Now this was that ghiza of the ruh, the nourishment of the ruh that was coming from above because of the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So now that is what fills the heart, fills the home. So he said, but I was worried about the child. He said, but now when you stop the qiraat, now it's not always it will happen like that, but on that occasion Allah made it visible to him. The zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is the nourishment for the soul. Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. With the zikr of Allah ta'ala, do the hearts get this contentment, this peace. Now we're looking for it all over the place. Allah Ta'ala has spelt it out for us. The primary zikr is Allah Ta'ala's obedience. But this verbal zikr, in a dedicated manner, deep down from the heart, this enlightens the heart, fills the heart with noor. This is the nourishment of that soul. And when that soul gets nourished, now it feels relaxed, it feels comfortable. So now, this is what's to be fed in the ruh. Instead of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, the zikr of shaitan is happening. That is fire for the ruh. That puts that ruh on fire. If a person's body is set alight, can he ever sit peacefully? That his body is now set alight, he'll be screaming in pain. So likewise, when the ruh got set alight by shaitan, shaitani effects now, because he's indulging in all haram, or that shaitani effect went into his ruh, through his ears, through his actions. So now that ruh is screaming for some peace, some contentment. Now he wants to pour something on that burning ruh. So now he's thinking of what to pour. Because he's looking for something now to make this restless room now comfortable. So now shaitan takes him, now you want to pour something on this to cool it. So what you were doing was now still very low key. You do the other thing, you'll get some satisfaction. Take him to worse. What you were indulging in, this doesn't give that kick. You want that peace now, you do something double, you know, give you double kick. So you get two kicks from shaitan and nafs. But now, this cycle finishes off where? When a person suddenly falls to his destruction, Allah forbid, suddenly his izzat is now in chatters, his deen has been hurt, his dunya is in completely damaged, and whatever else has transpired now, now he sometimes starts coming into his senses thereafter. So now the ruh is crying out, he's not crying out for worse, that the person was looking at something that was half bad, now he must look at something double bad, then maybe he'll feel better. He can only feel worse with that. He was first burning, and now he decided to add fuel to the fire. Why? Because he wants to douse this fire. So in order to douse the fire, he's pouring fuel on the fire. Can that ever douse that fire? Can that ever bring peace to that heart? Can that ever bring any kind of comfort? That will only just help to now put the person on greater restlessness. So now that restlessness is taking him here, there. He's got haram in, he's got halal in his house, he's looking for haram elsewhere. Just to take him to further destruction. So the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is the contentment of the heart. This is what settles that discomfort. This is what brings peace, contentment. And the connection with shaitan, it sets that ruh alight. It's not just now ill, it is screaming in pain. But now the unfortunate thing is, now to try and just appease that ruh, keep it quiet, person is pouring fuel over the fire. So zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, all these amal, the whole list of good deeds, righteous deeds, these are all the things that nourish this ruh. And then just as the body gets ill, sometimes there's some flu, or there's something even more, then a person has got some bronchitis, then he's got some pneumonia, and Allah forbid sometimes there's cancer, and there's so many other things that keep happening, Allah save us from all these issues. Likewise, the ruh has got all its ailments. It gets terribly sick, extremely sick with pride. It is a cancer of the ruh. Such a cancer, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, such a person cannot enter Jannat who has pride to the extent of a mustard seed. Mustard seed. Meaning he'll have to first go get cleansed out in Jahannam. So that ruh gets terribly sick with that. And then that sickness manifests itself in how a person speaks, how he conducts himself, how he deals with people around him. Then the ruh gets sick, very, very sick with hasad, jealousy. Such a terrible sickness. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that al-hasadu ya'kulu al-hasanat kama ta'kulu an-naru al-hatab. It destroys all a person's good deeds. Like how fire burns up wood, in no time dry wood is burnt ash. Likewise, hasad just destroys a person's good deeds. The love of dunya, the crave of dunya, this takes a person to so many evils, so many sins. The ruh gets very, very ill and sick with this love of dunya. The attachment to the level of what Allah has permitted, that is human nature. But where that becomes the focus of life, that becomes the crave, that becomes the quest for a person's whole day and night, and that takes him in a... That's a very dangerous situation. The ruh gets extremely sick with that. Now when the body gets sick, we understood now it becomes a means of sins getting forgiven, getting rewards from Allah Ta'ala's side. And when the body gets sick, a person then runs to get it treated. Sometimes it's not even so serious, but he's just making sure. He says, no, I just want to go for a comprehensive test. Because I'm just feeling this little bit uneasiness. Everything's going fine, but just feeling a little bit uneasy. So a little bit uneasiness, he wants to get this test done, and that test done, and this scan done, and so on. Why? Because the body, the health of the body is very, very important. It is important. We have to care for it. But a little bit of discomfort also starts making him concerned. He's already wanting to get treated. And if a few days pass, some home remedies didn't help, now he wants to get a comprehensive test done. and the maladies of the ruh, the illnesses and sicknesses of the ruh, to start off with, sometimes we're not even aware. Whereas of the body, every non-doctor also is well clued about. We all have not only the awareness of what are the illnesses, we all have also prescriptions for it. Every person who's not a doctor also has got a lot of prescriptions for all the things, for treating different things. When it comes to the ruh, sometimes you're not even aware what are the illnesses that harm the ruh. Then, when I'm afflicted by that illness, to do what about it? The body, I got sick, I'm immediately rushing to the doctor. The ruh, well, we wait for next Ramadan maybe. Or it'll just take care of itself. Just as the body needs treatment, the ruh needs treatment also. Just as there are people who will help us to treat us physically, then there are those who will treat us, help us to treat our ruh. So that our ruh becomes cleared from these illnesses, from these ailments, these cancers. And at the time when finally death comes, at that time, then this body is going to turn to dust in the grave. But this ruh is going to continue. The ruh was before this body came into existence. And when this body will perish in the grave, this ruh will still be existing. And this ruh is what everything will happen with. So now this is what we have to give the greater concern to. So for that is all the different efforts of deen. That it's not just going through the motions, life will carry on. It's to keep checking within ourselves. What am I afflicted with? If I'm not fulfilling some command of Allah Ta'ala, that is affecting my ruh. And that is creating an illness. And that can get worse. Allah forbid where it can lead. So am I making an effort to treat it? Whether it is something relating to ibadat that is lacking, or whether it is something in muamalat and muasharat and akhlaq that is lacking, or something I'm doing wrong, doing the opposite. Whether it is some other command of Allah Ta'ala, the laws of Allah Ta'ala with regards to a social life, with regards to, for example, parda, am I observing all the laws of hijab that pertain to staying away from all kinds of intermingling with non-mahrams, etc.? If I'm not, then this is affecting my ruh. I need to deal with this. I need to attend to it. Am I fulfilling whatever other matters, day-to-day life? So now these are all the things that it requires constant reflection, thinking about it. Some small ache, pain here and there, it plays in the mind. But why this? How come? What was this pain all about? 3 times I felt this pain already. 3 times we felt it already, we were to ask about it. But 3 years, 30 years have gone sometimes in the same wrong. We still didn't think about inquiring now, how do I go about getting past this? Now this is harming the ruh, and Allah forbid, that ruh wasn't treated, the effect of that illness of the ruh becomes apparent at the time of maut. That surfaces to the top at that time. Allah forbid, if that becomes, that takes the upper hand at that time, that can become a barrier from the recitation of the kalima. That can become a barrier from the recitation of the kalima. The well-known hadith sharif in the Fazail Amal as well, the one person in his last moments, but the kalima is not coming on his tongue. And Nabi Kareem Salaam was informed about it. The crux of it was that his mother was very hurt about something which was not obviously, it wasn't undue hurt. What he did was wrong. And he had hurt her very badly. And she was not prepared to forgive him because of the hurt that he brought to her heart. So now this was a major effect on the ruh of the person. At the time of maut it came up. And is blocking the recitation of kalima. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the crux of it, time has passed. Finally, after encouraging the mother, she forgave him. She forgave him, that blockage on the ruh went away. She hardly forgave him there, and on this side he recited the kalima and passed away. So these problems, Allah forbid, they surface at the time of maut. While things are carrying on, it seems like everything is fine. I'm living like this, so what? Nothing happened to me. But one day we're all leaving dunya, and we don't know when. We don't know how soon. And if these things are not treated, We don't make tawbah, we don't treat it, we don't try to get past it. Allah forbid, maut, at the time of maut, this becomes a problem. Many such incidents. Person now, his whole life was, he was so immersed in his business, that even salah, nothing else could come in the way. That was it. Hazrat Shaykhul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi has written this incident. A person in India now, he used to sell German locks. Now German locks was a very big thing, imported now. So that was his whole days, his song, Germany ka tala, 2 rupiah 4 paise, whatever. This is the German locks for so much. German locks 50 rand, for example, now. Whole day he's selling so-called imported German locks. At the time of his maut, they're telling him, La ilaha illallah. What's coming on his tongue is only Germany ka tala, 2 rupiah 4 paise, German locks. He carried on saying German locks and passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So now, that became the lock on his tongue. The ruh was affected by this. That at the expense of salah, at the expense of Allah's commands, this took precedence. That became a lock on the ruh that locked his tongue from the kalima. Otherwise he could speak, he's saying something, but he can't recite the kalima. So this is the very big concern that we have to think about very carefully. When is the time of my maut coming? I don't know. Whether I'll see tonight, whether I'll see tomorrow, who knows? Who can guarantee anything? Before that time, we have to turn to Allah Ta'ala, make sincere tawbah, remedy whatever the ailments are, come back to the path of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if there are things to treat, then we need to get the treatment before it's too late. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Next zikr for a few minutes and dua inshaAllah. Said the Rajari. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha
อิลลัลลอฮ์ลาอิลาฮะอิลลัลลอฮ์ลาอิลาฮะอิลลัลลอฮ์ลาอิลาฮะอิลลัลลอฮ์ลาอิลาฮะอิลลัลลอฮ์ลาอิลาฮะอิลลัลลอฮ์ลาอิลาฮะอิลลัลลอฮ์ลาอิลาฮะอิลลัลลอฮ์لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا اللهالله جل جلاله عم نواله الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول اللهصلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, make us your true and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you give us the tawfiq of doing all that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all the things that we have been doing to harm our ruh, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you save us from it, Ya Allah. Enable us to do all that which will strengthen this ruh, Ya Allah. That will make it adorned in your court, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us the tawfiq of performing our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. With khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to recite the Quran Sharif daily in abundance, Ya Allah. Enable us to be forever in your dhikr, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you save us from all the sins and vices, Ya Allah. Cleanse our hearts out, Ya Allah. Cleanse it of pride, Ya Allah. Cleanse it from the malice, Ya Allah. From jealousy, Ya Allah. From the love of dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, from all the evils, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from all the vices and sins, Ya Allah. Save us from the sins of the eyes, Ya Allah. The sins of the ears and tongue. The sins of the hands and feet, Ya Allah. The sins of the heart, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us to your pleasure, Ya Allah. Guide us to your pleasure, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from the traps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us a tawfiq of preparing for death, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have no idea when Malakul Maut will suddenly disappear, Ya Allah. When he will suddenly snatch our ruh away, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you keep us in a state of preparation for that moment, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us steadfast on Iman, Ya Allah. Keep us, Ya Allah, steadfast on Iman Kamil, Ya Allah. Take us on perfect Iman, Ya Allah. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect Iman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, all those who are sick, give them complete shifa and afiyat, Ya Allah. Remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Those who are ill in hospitals, Ya Allah, give them complete shifa and afiyat, Ya Allah. Bring them back to their homes with salamati, sihat and afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, those in any kind of difficulties and hardship, give them afiyat, Ya Allah. Remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant abundant halal, tayyib, risk to one and all, Ya Allah. Allah, save everyone from all the kinds of every drop of haram, every grain and drop of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those in any kind of anxiety, depression, grief, worry, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Fill the hearts with itminan and sukoon, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are in any pain, suffering, hardship, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant afiyat in deen to one and all, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our brothers and sisters of Palestine, of Gaza, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant them afiyat, Ya Allah. Remove the zulm from them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, you protect them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, you safeguard their lives, their wealth, their honor, Ya Allah. Safeguard their iman and amal, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, strengthen them against their enemies, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, strengthen the mujahideen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant hidayat to the zalimeen also, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, hidayat is not decreed for them, Ya Allah. Wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us steadfast of deen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who asked us to make dua for them, all who have raised their hands to this dua, Ya Allah, you fulfill each one's jais needs and pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make us yours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. But we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, without asking. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri masta'adaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam antal musta'an wa alaykal balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله